Hello and welcome to another episode of the WCU Podcasts Podcast. My name is Patrick Frazier.
And I'm Jalen Montgomery.
So Jalen, it's been a while, about a month since we last had an episode here, but it's been a busy time in the admissions office between travel and open houses and Honors Day.
It has been. I think the last time we actually recorded was like early...
It's about the middle of October. Was our last episode. We didn't get one out in November, unfortunately, due to two open houses, an Honors Day event, and everything else going on here in the office.
So
been a busy time.
It has. But we're back. And what a time this has been, Patrick. We're wrapping up the fall semester. Seems just like yesterday we were starting it, but Christmas is around the corner, and it is the holiday season here in Cullowhee. So we have a lot to kind of dive into today.
Yeah, so we're going to dive in, kind of going with the format we've gone through all fall and doing a little bit of a sports update for our Catamount Athletics. A lot happened since our last episode with the Catamount sports, so we're going to highlight some of the sports that are already finished for the year, dive into those that are kind of in progress right now. Been a busy time, to say the least. Sports aren't the only thing going on campus. There's all kinds of activities on campus. We're wrapping up classes this week. Final exams are next week, followed by graduation next weekend. Hard to believe we're already at graduation when it feels like we were just talking about convocation and everything else.
Exactly. But what a semester Catamount students have really put forward, staying aware to the CDC guidelines and Catamount's care. And now look, we're about to close out this semester and hop into the holiday season as well. So it's a very busy but exciting time for campus right now.
So as we hop into the holiday season, let's look back at what was Catamount Athletics for the fall, starting with our men's and women's golf team. So we had a couple of updates throughout the year for golf, and since our last episode for the Catamount women's golf team, they actually finished first on one round for the French Broad Invitational that was held at UNC Asheville, finished first on the first day on Monday, November 8th, second on day two, with a tied for third finish on day three. So kind of a great way to wrap up the season for our women's golf team.
Yeah, Patrick. And speaking of which, I would have to say a lot of the teams, we talked about still had the rest of the semester and season to go to kind of pull out some big wins. And I think that's what our fall teams did this year, especially with, for example, like our football team. They really kind of stepped up those last few games of the season, some of their conference games, and bought out some good wins, but also kind of took some tough losses. But it was still a good ending season for our Catamount football team.
Yeah, the Catamount football team ended up winning four of their last five games. Had a game on October 23rd at the Citadel, and then again on October 30th at Wofford. Won against the Citadel and Wofford. Great games for both those. Had a thrilling victory on November 6th against Furman, which was Heroes Day here in Cullowhee, when we pulled out a win 43-42. Lost a tough one for the battle, or the Blue Ridge border battle against ETSU, with a loss again, 35-56 loss for that game. But then we were able to kind of finish out the season strong with a win at VMI 52-24. So great way to end the season, kind of looking to project us forward to next season on a high note.
Absolutely. And actually, I was at the ETSU game, and that was a very thrilled and impact game the first half and the second half. I ended up leaving a little early, disclosure, because I got a little chilly. But while I was there, the Catamounts was really putting
up. What we call a fair weather fan.
Yeah. Oh, you're. No, I'm not a fair weather fan, but that night it was a little chilly, okay? But no, that was another good game the Catamounts put on. We were able to get a lot of passes down the field, as well as we picked up a lot of running yards this season from our running back. So I think as we kind of go into the off season, I think it's the perfect time for Coach Bell to kind of take a look at these last few conference games and be able to bring in the new class stronger as we take a look at the next season, because that will be here before we know it.
Yeah, as we continue our wrap-up of the fall, our women's volleyball team finished the season with an 11-17 record. Lost a couple of heartbreakers there at the end of the season. Picked up a win for our final home game against Furman 3-0, but then ended up losing to UNCG and the Citadel to wrap up the season. And then we lost to the number 4 seed Wofford in the SoCon Conference Tournament with a 3-1 set loss to Wofford. So tough kind of end of the season for volleyball, but looking to kind of bounce back next year. Had a young squad this year, a lot of freshmen, sophomores on the squad. That'll really kind of grow from this as we head into next year. Our women's soccer team kind of had an up-and-down season as well. They finished the season 11-8-1 overall with a 4-4-1 home record. They kind of wrapped up the season. They were also able to pick up the final win at home against Chattanooga, a 3-1 victory, and then made it to the second round of the SoCon Championship for the soccer. We beat UNCG in the first round, 1-0 in overtime, and ended up losing 0-1 to the number 2 seed Furman to kind of round out our season there. But some tough losses there, but looking to bounce back. Our men's and women's golf programs still have a long season to go. They continue into the spring season. But they had a great fall as they kind of wrapped up their events and everything. So as we're looking at our athletic programs, now we're kind of into the quieter months. You know, at least, you know, November, December, we really just have basketball going on for the month of December.
Yeah, and let's go ahead and hop over to our men's basketball team, who are currently 6-4 on the season. They picked up some good wins against some good teams. So, like American University, they had on November 20th, won with 81-79, then picked up another one against Longwood, 64-53. Kind of took a loss at Gardner Webb, and then December 1st, they was right back here in Cullowhee playing Warren Wilson, which they brought home a win, 102-47, and then they beat USC Upstate, 78-73, and then what a nail-biter game last night against Tennessee Tech. One in overtime, 74-69. So our men will be back in action this Saturday against UNC Asheville. And then, you know, they kind of get a few days off. And then the following week, they will be at Georgia, then kind of going to Charlotte. And then they'll get a break for the holiday season and right back at it, Patrick. We straight dive into the SoCon games I'm really interested to see Coach Gray take a pun.
Yeah, you know, we've highlighted some of the upcoming schedule and even some of the games that they've already played in men's basketball. You know, they had a good game against Wake Forest, ACC opponent. They also had a, you know, good showing against East Carolina. Like you said, Jalen, they got Georgia and Charlotte coming up before diving into the SoCon. So we've had some good games, some good learning experience games, picking up some wins. A couple losses that shouldn't have been losses, but when you have – you know, new coaching staff and new, you know, players coming in, it's always kind of a learning curve for everybody involved. And sometimes you need those losses to kind of give some motivation moving forward. And I have a feeling that's what they're doing as they kind of bounce back from that loss to Gardner Webb.
I believe so. I mean, at the game last night, just to see it go down to the wire in overtime and then for one of the player to hit the three, it was like you could see Ramsey Center electrify just to see the Catamounts come alive. So I'm excited to see how Coach Gray and the men's finish up this season as they're starting to hit that halfway point after they play Charlotte. Now to kind of bounce over to Coach Hill and the women's, we are 4-6 on the season, but again, their schedule this season has been more packed. So we picked up a win against Emory and Henry, and then kind of came in a loss in overtime to UNC Asheville, 74-72, and then we was on a 2-win streak against Presbyterian and Charleston Southern, and then we kind of faced some losses, especially one against Cincinnati.
Well, the Cincinnati one, we only lost by
one,
point. I mean,
45-46. I mean,
that was a close game there in Cincinnati. Took a little harder loss against Alabama, 77-43. Kind of bounced back with a win against Mars Hill at 70-51. lost a heartbreaker in overtime to USC Upstate, 58-51. And then, unfortunately, we've had two losses against Winthrop and Campbell. But we got a game coming up tonight, actually, against Tennessee Tech. And then they'll play this weekend against South Carolina State. A few more non-conference games after the exam week time and before the start of the SoCon season, when they play Davidson, Southern Wesleyan, and Montreat, and then we go right into the SoCon. It's going to be a busy SoCon season.
It is, for sure. I feel like for football and basketball teams this year, it seems as though they play some of the more bigger schools outside of their conference, and then it's like SoCon for the rest of the season. So I'm excited to see what the women's can pull out at this halfway mark. I'm really excited to see them electrify. And like you mentioned, Patrick, some of these games have been like by a point. So if we can have that final drive in the second quarter to kind of finish out strong and start to take some of these losses and turn them into wins, I think we'll be A-OK going into the new year and new season.
Yeah, so that's kind of your roundup for Catamount Sports. But Catamount Sports aren't the only thing going on campus lately. It has been a busy fall, and kind of highlight some of the things. You know, we've highlighted, homecoming this year and the return to kind of some of the pre-COVID things. We had a new celebration this year as we lit the alumni tower to kind of kick off the holiday season here in Cullowhee. Decorated the alumni tower and everything around it. So that was kind of a new little tradition to start this holiday season.
And I was able to watch it on Facebook Live, and I was so upset I wasn't here to see it and to see everybody hanging out and getting hot cocoa. But
shout out to the MC of the event, our fellow podcast host, Josh Thompson.
He's doing really big things now.
I think he's kind of left us in the wayside as he's moved on to bigger and better.
Like, he's doing big things. We're going to have to grab him and see if he can pin us in on his schedule and come and do an episode with us one day. So it was really fun to see, you know, even at the November open house, Patrick, they were setting up the lights then for the alumni tower. And I remember being out there and helping set up our open house, and they were talking about the electricity and if we need to cut it off. And I was like, no, like, just leave the lights where they're at, and seeing the reef. I think my favorite thing was watching the students count down with Chancellor Brown and First Gentleman Mr. Dennis, and then them hitting the button. I think Chancellor Brown is bringing back what it means to be a Catamount during the holiday season. So it's beautiful here in Cullowhee. Also, too, they did some fun events in the UC, the holiday, besides Holiday Plaza, they did the Holiday Adventure, holiday events in the UC. So you could, like, make ornaments, stuff teddy bears, take a picture with Santa Paws. I don't think they had the Clydesdale this year, or I don't think they were able to do the ice skating rink either, which I did it, and it was a lot of fun my year.
Oh, I'm sure that had been – I need some videos of that one.
Yeah, you don't get that. Sorry.
With everything going on this fall and everything in Cullowhee, we've also had some sad news over the last few days that we would be remiss if we didn't mention the passing of WCU legend Laverne Hamlin Allen, who passed away last weekend. Allen was instrumental here in Cullowhee in terms of helping to bring a whole new perspective of students to predominantly white schools in not just North Carolina, but the South as a whole. She graduated in the summer of 1957 from what was then Western Carolina College as the first African-American student to enroll at a predominantly white institution of higher education in North Carolina. She also received an honorary doctorate of humane letters in 2006 and was also a former board of the WCU Board of Trustees. And then in 2019, we named a new residence hall in her honor. So her legacy will definitely live on here in Cullowhee, but we wanted to make sure that we mention and remember Laverne Hamlin Allen as well as we highlight everything that happened this fall.
Absolutely, definitely sending prayers to the Allen family during this time as well. When I seen the news, my heart automatically broke because she, from the conversations I heard while she was here during the opening ceremony, she was very much a live and energetic person. So she would definitely be missed here in Catamount Nation for sure. So definitely sending prayers and thoughts to their family.
I remember my dad and I were doing an alumni tour once, and She made a comment that how whenever she came down the four lane and she saw the billboard with the cat eyes, that was her sign that she was home in Cullowhee and she was back home. The cat eyes were kind of her welcome back to the area. So, you know, extra meaning to everything that is Catamounts with her passing as well.
Mm-hmm. And that's how I know, too, like if I'm out traveling or I've been gone for a while, it's like when I see those cat eyes, it's like that is how I know I have officially entered Catamount land. Also, too, seeing those eyes at night, I do have to say, will low-key scare you. The first time I had to drive back at night from something, I was like, what is that? And then I realized it was just a cat eye. So if you ever come to Silva and Cullowhee, you will know the board Patrick and I are talking about. You cannot miss it. It's literally the Catamount eyes looking at you. So that is your sign to come and visit us so you can see the billboard as well.
So that's kind of our wrap-up for everything that has been fall here in Cullowhee. We'll be right back after this commercial break as we go into the holidays in Western North Carolina. So please join us after this commercial break. As a reminder, this holiday season, the university as well as the Office of Admissions will be closed from December 24th all the way through January 2nd. So any emails or phone calls sent during this time will be returned not until Monday, January 3rd. So be sure to keep that in mind as you're making plans for the holiday season, making travel arrangements, or sending in those last-minute application items, that the university as well as the Office of Admissions will be closed beginning on Friday, December 24th, and will not reopen until Monday, January 3rd. And welcome back to the WCU Podcast podcast. Be sure to check us out online at Facebook, WCU Podcasts on Facebook, or podcasts.wcu.edu. I'll get it right one of these days. So be sure to check us out online, check us out on Facebook, or anywhere that you download your podcast, especially on the Apple Podcast. So, Jalen, it's the holiday season. It's been a couple years since Josh and I did kind of a countdown of things to do in the area, and we wanted to kind of revisit all that there is to do here in the mountain region for prospective students as well as current students, alumni that might be coming up for the holidays. This is a busy time of year, you know, for everybody, but there's a lot going on in Western North Carolina.
Absolutely. I think, too, just having it all from COVID, you know, it kind of put a little damper last year on the holiday spirit just because a lot of people couldn't go out and about. But I kid you not, Patrick, it seems like now everybody is decorating. They're out doing Christmas shopping. You know, a lot of people are doing like family get-togethers. So there's tons of stuff to do. So if you happen to be, let's just go ahead and start in the next county over.
Well, actually, let's start right here in our own county. Let's start with Dillsboro. One of our favorite events around here is the Dillsboro Lights and Luminaries. This event took place the first weekend of December as well as this weekend, December 10th and 11th. Begins around 5 p.m. and then goes until 9 p.m. at night. There's all kinds of activities for the family to do during the event. But one of the highlights, of course, is you get to see Mr. and Miss Claus. They'll be driving around town in a pickup truck, seeing all the kids, handing out candy canes. There's all the shops and businesses are open. The luminaries are out as you're walking around. Definitely feels like Christmas in Dillsboro whenever you're there for that event.
Absolutely. We did, I think in 2019, we were actually the night before we left for our conference, we went to Dillsboro for the event and we walked around, got some good chocolate from the chocolate factory, seen Santa Claus and Mrs. Claus, as well as grab dinner. So if you're in the Dillsboro area, it is a beautiful setup for the Christmas holiday. So definitely go by, go get some good chocolate. While you're out there, go to Forger's Canteen. I'm going to drop this now and get the nacho fries. They are fantastic.
Yeah, you know, the luminaries that they do in Dillsboro is adopted from an old Scandinavian custom where they'll have more than 2,500 candles in small white bags to light the streets, and every storefront is aglow with Christmas lights and decorations. You know, Haywood Smokehouse, go and get you some barbecue.
Yes.
You know, that's a
Yes, yes.
I won't say it's a regular favorite for our office, only because when we eat it, we're so full that we can't do anything the rest of the day.
We have to
really limit our trips to Haywood Smokehouse. You know, those campfire taters are one of my favorites, without a doubt.
And the beans. My favorite is the barbecue chicken quesadillas. Oh, yes.
And be sure to get you some pecan pie while you're at it at Haywood.
And the banana pudding.
Oh, yeah. So many good options there at Haywood. I mean, but there's so many different places there. You know, you have Costa's as well. You get the Flamin' Cheese.
Yes.
So we don't have enough time to highlight all the restaurants,
but definitely check them out while you're here.
And make sure that you go by the Christmas store, because, I mean, it's Christmas time. You got to go by the Christmas store.
Buy some ornaments.
Love the Christmas store with everything that they have in there for people. So be sure you come up this weekend, December 10th and 11th, from 5 p.m. to 9 p.m. in Dillsboro for the Lights and Luminaries. Also, if you're already coming up to Dillsboro for the Luminaries, especially if you have small kids, make sure that you head on over to Bryson City to ride the Polar Express. That's such an exciting event. Make sure you have your pajamas on for the event, parents included. Make sure you wear those pajamas.
Mm-hmm.
Meet Santa on the train, get hot chocolate, hear the story of the Polar Express as you ride the train to the North Pole to pick up Santa Claus and head back to Bryson City. The whole town's kind of transformed for the Christmas season. It's such a kind of a fun atmosphere and just a sight to see, without a doubt.
I remember us doing it when I was younger, the Polar Express, and it was by far one of my favorite field trips. So we were able to wear our pajamas, and we loaded up like the charter buses, of course, came all the way up here to do Polar Express. And it was just such a fun time. And I've seen some pictures from like friends and family on my social media who are going or who have already been. And it's so exciting.
Yeah, the Polar Express does fill up quickly. So be sure you go online to get your tickets for that through the Great Smoky Mountain Railroad. But it's a great opportunity for kids of all ages to go and ride the train, see Santa Claus, and experience everything that is magical about the train ride to the Polar Express story and Christmas. And they'll be doing trips all the way up until Christmas. They are off Christmas Day. And then they do a return to the North Pole after Christmas, where Santa rides the train back to the North Pole following the Christmas season. So several opportunities for the family, and the lights are always a great part of that.
Absolutely.
So as we've covered Jackson County, we've covered Swain County. Well, let's hop on over to Haywood County. A lot going on in Haywood County this fall as well.
It is. So just looking at some of the schedule, this weekend it looks like they're doing a Winter Wonderland Market at the Smoky Event Center. So probably where a lot of different businesses from Haywood will be out and about. So you can buy some crafts, some home decor, some local arts. So if you need those last-minute gifts, you can go to this and get them.
And if you're not
sure
where the Smoky Mountain Event Center is, when you're driving on Interstate or Highway 74, you turn off there at Lowe's, like you're going to go towards Lake Junaluska, and that'll take you to the Smoky Mountain Event Center there. Big facility, all kinds of arts and crafts. Great chance, buy those last-minute Christmas presents, so in case you're needing something for Keisha, go buy those last-minute Christmas presents.
You are old one today. You have slicked me in so many times. Special shout-out to Miss Keisha. We haven't done this for a month, so shout-out to my mommy.
But that's not the only thing that's happening in Haywood County. They also have the Christmas and Beyond drive-through light show, the Strands of Light. So this is taking place across several nights where you can, again, it's taking place at the Smoky Mountain Event Center. They have about a mile of Christmas lights that you can drive through. You can purchase your tickets in advance online to drive through. It is limited. They're only selling 100 cars per hour. So they are asking that purchasers arrive 30 minutes to an hour ahead of their time slot, depending on what time that they pick or if you're purchasing there without any advance purchase. So a couple of things there to check out in Haywood County, without a doubt.
Yeah, and they're also doing, too, Patrick, looking at the schedule, It looks like they have the Waynesville Christmas Parade, as well as on next weekend, on next Sunday, December the 19th, you can take photos with Santa and enjoy some hot cup of cocoa, at the Smoky Mount, Skateway and Fun Zone. So, that will be as if you were coming into Jackson County on Highway 74, that would be on the left. So you're more than welcome to take your children out there, take your kids and go enjoy some pictures with Santa Claus and enjoy a hot cup of cocoa, because 'tis the season to eat good and drink cocoa.
And speaking of eating good, while you're over in Waynesville, on Friday, December 17th, from 11 a.m. to 2 p.m. on 611 South Haywood Street is Food Truck Friday. But not only is it Food Truck Friday, the first 100 meals are already paid for.
Nice.
So first 100 meals are on Dr. G. Come by and enjoy the Christmas gifts to the community. One per person from a select menu. Must order and pick up in person. But be sure to check that out on Friday, December 17th from 11 a.m. to 2 p.m. So all you students listening that are graduating on Sunday or Saturday next week, you're probably done with exams on the 17th. Hop on over to Waynesville, have some food truck fun, and then come back for graduation.
What time does that start? Did it say?
It starts at 11 a.m. to 2 p.m. I see Jalen's mind already trying to figure out how she's going to get over there for lunch.
Hey, you are not wrong.
So, as we kind of look at other things here in the mountain region, there's a lot of different events going on that you can kind of get into the holiday spirit. And a lot of events going on in Asheville. Asheville is the place to be come Christmas time.
It is. Let's start off with the most beautiful place in Asheville, North Carolina. The Christmas at the Biltmore Estate. So you can go there, take a look around, and see all of the wonderful Christmas decorations they are offering as well. So they are doing it, let's see, it looks like through early January.
Yes, so from November 5th through January 8th, be sure to check out the lights. They also do nighttime passes where you can come through. It's kind of a candlelight look. The Biltmore House is decorated as though it's the turn of the century, as it would have been when the Vanderbilts were living at the Biltmore House. Definitely a sight to see at the holiday season. For regular visitors there and first-time visitors.
Absolutely. And also, too, you can buy tickets. They are doing a Van Gogh Alive exhibition on the estate. So you can get a two-for-one deal, basically. You can buy a ticket that would allow you to go see, you know, the Christmas decorations as well as take part in the exhibit also. And not only that, you can also go into the garden and take a look at the art Antler Hill Village to commemorate Christmas. So they have different themes and different like decorations to go around with the Biltmore Estate. But let's talk about the 35-foot locally grown tree that is brought in by a horse and drawn like carriage to commemorate to start this holiday season.
Yeah, it's a beautiful tree that they put there at the Biltmore House. I mean, one of many trees that they have throughout the house. And the Biltmore House is covered in all kinds of garland, lights, ribbon. It's just kind of a majestic feeling to kick off your holiday season. But if you want something equally majestic but also fun, then you want to head on over to the Omni Grove Park Inn.
Yes.
Where you have the National Gingerbread House Competition. They're on display for the public from November 28th through January 2nd. Make sure that you check out their website, because there are select days and times that are for hotel guests and not the general public, so make sure you check that out online. Jalen, have you ever been to the National Gingerbread House Competition?
I have not, but I what I am hearing is we take a trip as an office.
It is fun. so we one of the conferences that we used to go to, the Carolinas Association of Collegiate Registrar and Admissions Officers, say that one three times fast, the CACRO conference used to actually be held at the Omni Grove Park Inn during this time of year, and it was always great being over there, seeing all the gingerbread houses and everything. I've been several times over the years. And the key with the competition is everything used must be edible. So there's no glue, there's no wood materials, everything must be edible. and to see the houses that they create. I mean, just think back to, you know, when we're doing student training here for all of our tour guides listening, which should be all of you. when we do like training and we're using like build a structure out of marshmallows and toothpicks and we can barely get a little structure off the ground, they're building multi-story houses and mansions and skyscrapers out of gingerbread.
And I'm just thinking about when we did it with the marshmallow and toothpicks and how I could barely keep my marshmallow on the toothpick. And it also makes me think of, you said the gingerbread house competition, the Food Network channel, you know, this time of year is when they do a lot of their Christmas baking shows. And just to see these individuals take like food and make them into such beautiful decorations, it's like, I love it. And knowing you can eat it afterwards is probably one of my favorite things.
Yeah, it's such a unique thing to experience and to walk through and see, especially when you start looking at the age range, because you have kids, you have teenagers, you have adults, and these kids are building gingerbread houses that I couldn't build as an adult, and it just kind of blows my mind half the time.
I could barely build a gingerbread house when I was a kid. So, I mean, now I would hate to see what my gingerbread house would look like. I mean, why, you know, seeing the gingerbread houses and, you know, you don't want to end your night yet. You can ride over and see the winter lights at the North Carolina Arboretum in Asheville ending at night as well.
Yeah, the Arboretum's a great thing for the whole family. You pay by vehicle to get in. And so all kinds of lights to see outdoors, kind of walk through the Arboretum. The Arboretum is open for walking through this year. Last year, due to COVID, it was closed and it was vehicles only. So glad that it is open again for everybody as they're coming through. But such a kind of phenomenal light show and everything as you're walking through the Arboretum for their North Carolina Winter Lights Festival. If you haven't been to the Arboretum before, this is a great opportunity to kind of see and experience something else that's unique to WCU. It's kind of connection because WCU is connected with the Arboretum, but also just unique to Western North Carolina as a whole.
So, and you know, you may not be able to make it to Asheville, Waynesville, or, you know, Dillsboro or Bryson City. No worries. For all of my people who live on the, you know, live near Charlotte region, you can go to the Christmastown USA, McAddenville, North Carolina. It's a little town. It's a town right outside of Gastonia, North Carolina. And ride through and see all of the houses that are decorated for Christmas. Now, I will advise to get there early because traffic will start to back up onto 85, the major highway going out towards Charlotte. But that's not, nevertheless, that's still so much fun. We used to ride through there when I was younger. We would go eat dinner, and then as a way to wrap up, you know, the night, we would ride through McAddenville as well. And that was also kind of a treat for us, like on Christmas Eve, to kind of get ready for Santa to come. We would ride through McAddenville. So there's plenty of things to do. Probably all around the state of North Carolina to get ready for the holidays.
One other thing in Asheville I did want to point out, be sure to go by the Grove Arcade, get some Christmas shopping done. They are decked out in their Christmas lights and decorations for the year, so be sure to check that out. But in addition to kind of this area, hop across the mountain, go across the Great Smoky Mountain National Park, which we love having here in our backyard, the most visited national park in America, and goes through Gatlinburg and Pigeon Forge as they go through Winterfest and the light shows and light festivals in Gatlinburg and Pigeon Forge. Great opportunity to knock out some Christmas shopping as well, and or just shopping in general if you're looking for some deals and sales this time of year. One of my favorite things during the holiday season is Dollywood. Make sure you go and see the hundreds of thousands of lights they have at Dollywood, ride the rides and everything that they have there. Tickets are really affordable this time of year. If you're looking to buy an annual pass, even, you can get that pass during the holiday season, and it'll be good for this year as well into next year. So great opportunities for people. Heck, one of our own tour guides was talking about how that was her Christmas gift this year, was an annual pass to Dollywood, and she was so excited to be going to the Christmas lights. So make sure that you check that out, as well as everything else in the area. So many things to do in this region as you're looking for things during the holiday season.
Still upset that my college fair was canceled for Dollywood.
Yeah, Jalen was going to be over there in the Dollywood area, going to have a chance to head on over to Dollywood and
hang out and enjoy it.
try to meet Dolly and didn't get the chance.
Ugh, I say we take a trip as an office, Patrick.
Well, you know, we took the students one time, and I just happened to pick the weekend. That was the Tennessee State
band
and choir competition in Pigeon Forge. And so all bands and choirs across the state were at Dollywood that day. And we learned not to attempt that one again for the future. But so all kinds of activities around this area for students, faculty, staff, alumni, anybody in the area, be sure to get out and, you know, experience that small town holiday season. Whatever holiday you may be celebrating this time of year, there's all kinds of things for each and every person around this area this time of year.
And if you happen to stop by the Office of Admissions, you will see we are in the Christmas holiday spirit, as we have different Christmas trees decorated around our office. So as soon as you walk into the two front doors, you will be welcomed by the big Christmas tree that is decorated purple and gold as well. Also, too, we have other trees around in our counselor offices. So I think everybody is just ready for the holiday spirit this year, Patrick.
Yeah, you know, after COVID and everything, it's kind of nice to bring some holiday cheer for whatever holiday you may celebrate during this time of year. I always love all the Christmas lights around everywhere, just to see all the lights on all the different houses. And a lot going on this time of year. A lot to celebrate and be thankful for everyone this year. Even in our own office, we have a celebration this week itself with a new addition to the Catamount family with one of our own counselors here in the office.
Yes, congratulations, Madeline and Reed.
Yeah, little Parker joined us this past week, and so we have a future Catamount in the making, to say the least.
Absolutely. Oh, absolutely. We just got all the little Catamounts coming around. So it's a very exciting time and just joyful. So, Patrick, I have to ask, since it is the Christmas holiday, what are your top three favorite Christmas movies?
Let's see here.
Make it a little fun today.
Well, and see, it actually has gotten mixed up here in recent years. Because I will say, you know, prior to, I think it was like 2017, it would have been Christmas Vacation, The Santa Claus, okay, and Santa Claus is Coming to Town. That would be the top three.
Okay.
But now, with the newest version of the Grinch, the Benjamin Cumberbatch version of the Grinch, that one is like creeping its way into the top three.
Really?
And so I would have to say that has probably replaced Santa Claus on the list. I can't remove Christmas or Santa's Coming to Town or Christmas Vacation. The Grinch is probably right in there. Now, if I did a top five, it'd be a lot easier because it'd be those four movies as well as Charlie Brown Christmas. That'd be the top five. The top five is a little easier for me than the top three.
Let's see, my top three are definitely Christmas Vacation. Oh, and see, here's where we come into the problem for number two, because it's either Home Alone or Home Alone 2, because they're right there neck and neck. I'm going to just put the Home Alone category, just Home Alone 1 and 2 for number two. Number three, the original Jim Carrey, The Grinch.
Yeah, see, that one just doesn't make it up there for me. I mean, the new one, because I think what I love about the new one is the new characters.
Yeah.
The addition of the new characters. That's what does it for me, and just the continuation of the story that the other Grinch movies don't have.
Which I can understand, because we went to see the new Grinch, and I loved it, but I don't know, Jim Carrey and The Grinch, he is such a phenomenal actor, but my God, he is hilarious. And there's a Grinch at Universal Studios who is going viral on TikTok. I don't know if you've seen it, but
that'd require me being on TikTok.
Well, you need to get a TikTok because it is amazing. But you can get sucked into being on TikTok for hours. me. But the Grinch, he acts like he embodies the Grinch so much, and it's hilarious. Like, I think I was up late last night just laughing at some of his videos because he's just the Grinch.
Well, I think there's all kinds of options to choose from. You know, depending on what your movie tastes are during the holiday season, whether it's the Hallmark movies or the classics, there's so many things to choose from. I'm more of the classics fan myself, having grown up with the different movies over the years. But Jalen, that kind of wraps up our holiday edition for the WCU Podcasts podcast. I'm not going to promise, but we might be able to get one more episode in before the holiday season kind of gets here and the end of the year. Depends on how busy we get here in the admissions office. This is a busy time of the year for us. So we'll try to get one more episode in to kind of wrap up 2021. We'll do a look back at the year that was for 2021, before we head into what's hard to believe is already here, 2022.
I'm just sitting here like, where did this year go? Because it seemed just like yesterday it was August
1st. Seems like it, just yesterday it was, you know, August 1st, 2020. Yeah, I mean, 2019. And then, now, you know, 2020 was just a blur, I think, for everybody. And now we're here at the end of 2021.
I mean, it just seemed like just the other day we had Dr. Bayshawn Smith in here. I was like, oh, what are you looking forward to the beginning of, like, as this semester begins? And we're wrapping up.
You know, that's what we need to do. We need to bring Bayshawn back in here for a wrap up of what was the fall 2021.
We do, because I think in the very first episode with
Bayshawn, we put you on notice.
Yeah, so go ahead and clear your schedule.
Return appearance here.
Because I think too, we talked about if the Browns did good this season, he would come back, I think, or if they made it to the Super Bowl or the playoffs one.
Yeah, he might not want to return the way the season's going right now.
Yeah, he may not want. Okay, Bayshawn, you don't have to.
We might have a future Packers fan on our hands there if I can, you know, work my magic.
Oh, Lord. Not the Packers.
But I want to thank everybody for listening. Be sure to, like I said before, check us out online on Facebook, WCU Podcasts Podcast, or online, podcasts.wcu.edu, or on Apple iTunes Podcast. You can check us out there as well. Love to get any feedback you have. Be sure to comment, share the posts and everything on Facebook and such. But I want to thank everybody for listening to us. Hope you have a great holiday season. And go Cats!